On this episode of the iFilmmaker podcast, we have Darren and Austin from Glory Visuals, and we're talking about how they make their business partnership work. Welcome back to another episode of the iFilmmaker podcast. My name is Ariel Martinez, and on this episode, we're talking with both Darren and Austin from Glory Visuals. They're the Glory Boys, if you follow their podcast. But we're talking more about their production company and how they were able to start it in partnership and how they make that relationship work, the ins and outs, the struggles that they had, and how they're thriving right now because of the way that they manage their business. Talking to both Darren and Austin, it was very interesting to see how the dynamics of their strengths and how they're able to play into that and sort of complement each other in this business partnership. Both Darren and Austin also host a podcast called The Glory Boys, where they talk about their business, video production, and just all kinds of fun antics, just like we do here in iFilmmaker Podcast. So with all that out of the way, let's go ahead and get into our conversation with Darren and Austin. All right, so Glory Boys, Darren and Austin, thank you for coming on the iFilmmaker Podcast. Glad to have you guys.
Yeah, dude, it's absolutely an honor to be on this podcast with you, and it's cool. You guys are killing it, so we're honored.
Sweet. I've been looking at your feed, your Instagram feed, for a while. I like what you guys have been putting out, and I love that you guys are also faith-based as well. So it really naturally attracted me to sort of get in contact with you guys and see what you guys are all about and bring you on the podcast.
Yeah, it's awesome. How did you end up finding us, I guess, initially? I'm just curious.
I honestly do not know. I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember. I know I've been following you guys. I don't even remember when it started. I just know you ended up on my feed. Yeah. I saw it and I liked what I saw. So here we are.
Dope. That's awesome. I love that.
Cool. So why don't we start by getting your background, how you guys both got involved in video production, how you guys met, and what do you guys have going on right now?
Yeah, so I started shortly after college. I was doing sales and I hated it. I was terrible at it. So I picked up a camera in the meantime, wanting to be a tech YouTuber. So I was watching, you know, MKBHD and all these guys doing tech reviews on YouTube, which is what I wanted to do. So I bought a camera. I had a pretty cool little computer setup. And then I realized quickly that that wasn't very feasible because I had to buy all the products, couldn't afford it. So I kind of stopped doing that. But in the meantime, got started working as a second shooter to a local wedding filmmaker. Did that for about 6 months, probably shot 20-ish weddings in that 6 month span with him. That's where I kind of learned the ropes, especially for weddings, but just shooting in general. Started shooting Sony. And then kind of in that process met Darren, but that's kind of how I got started.
Yeah. For me, I just like always had a passion for being creative. I was a musician growing up. I always enjoyed photography and videography, but I didn't really understand, you know, that you could do that as a job. And so about 5-6 years ago, I was encouraged by some mentors of mine that were like, hey, let's do this thing. We're going to, you know, help you start your company. And so I started a company called His Glory Productions in 2013, 2014. And it was really just an LLC doing literally everything. Cause as a creative, I didn't really understand where my niche wanted to be. I just wanted to do photo, video, songwriting, you know, you name it, I was going to do it. I even did a couple jingles for some companies, but, fast forward a few years, learned and failed forward a ton and, met, Austin at church, and we started doing some content for church and really just grew a deep passion for filmmaking specifically. And the reason being, we worked on a sermon series video together and really loved it. And so we're like, yo, let's do this as a job, and prayed about it and continued to lean into learning and growing in it, and approached our wives and said, hey, we want to be filmmakers. Is that cool? And so we dove in head first April of 2018.
Wow. So April of 2018 is when you guys started your business, Glory Visuals, together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was probably like November of 2017, we started talking about it. Mm-hmm. So it was like a 5 to 6 month process between us talking about it, we had to pick out a name, get a logo, kind of get all the initial things together that we needed to start. So we did all of that.
That's the exciting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. I still remember doing that. And we love doing that for other brands still. There is something special about getting those first Instagram posts and getting a Google business profile ready, all that stuff. So, but then, April is when we kind of went full time.
It's very interesting. So what's the dynamic of your business? Do one of you handle different things and the other handles different things?
Yeah.
And so what are you each bringing to the table for to make this partnership work?
Totally. Well, our personalities cannot be probably further. Well, they could probably be further apart, but we are very different people. I'm the analytic, worry wart, I guess you could say. And Darren's the social butterfly. Life of the party, just a joy to be around. And so it's a good dynamic, because on shoots, he's kind of the one making sure everyone's having a good time, everyone's in a good mood, whereas I'm thinking a little bit more through the technical stuff, making sure details are covered, things like that. As far as operations of our business, I would say he edits better than I do. The majority of our wedding films, Darren has edited. And so he's more, I would say, creative. I think he's a better editor, whereas I do a lot more of the administrative. I built out our workflows, automated email workflows, all of that stuff. I do all of our bookkeeping. So things like that, a little bit more on the organizational standpoint is kind of my strengths.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, we've just over the last almost 3 years now have really found where we fit best and really playing on our strengths. I know what he's good at. He knows what I'm good at. And so we've really been able to grow and continue to push forward because we've just allowed each other to kind of stay in our lanes and lean on those strengths.
That's awesome. So did you guys know that move, starting your business, or is that something that you gradually found out and sort of morphed your relationship around?
I think we're still discovering it. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I think we're discovering it more now than ever.
Yeah.
I think there's something that happens when you hire your first full-time employee, which we got to do last November, where
it was the best thing that,
awesome.
What a joy it was to be able to like analyze our year and our budget and the money coming in and the jobs coming in. And man, we've grown this thing to be able to like take care of another human being and their being their resource and their job. And that was just a big deal for us. I mean, it no longer was just Darren and Austin. It was Darren and Austin and now more employees and people to help kind of build the vision of Glory Visuals. And it's a life-changing experience when you get to be able to do that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, man. And so you mentioned the vision of Glory Visuals. What is the vision of your business and what is the basic overall scope of your work?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
That's so good. Initial thought, when we started the company, our bread and butter was always wedding films. We happened to be pretty good at them, so we just continued on doing them. It pays the bills, it pays our salaries, and it's right. A great way to make a living, but it isn't our absolute passion point. So with that comes, man, we'd love to do some more documentary type things, or we want to do more higher scale, higher budget music videos or commercial shoots. And so there's a lot of different things that we aspire and want to do, but I think it's just taking the initial steps to get there, not rush into something. And we just haven't had a ton of opportunity present itself to be able to be on set with some people. We live in Omaha, Nebraska, and so it's not necessarily the filmmaker's capital of the world. It's a little bit different. So we have our different struggles and things here, but I think we're going at the pace I think we need to, and we're learning and growing a ton now so that we would be prepared in the future for something bigger.
That's terrific, man. That's awesome. Well answered.
Thanks, man.
I'm assuming that, you guys obviously you're doing well having to hire somebody full time. You're doing very well. I think that one of the first things that comes to my mind when I think of a partnership and people starting a business in partnership together, you have to make enough money for both of you to live off of.
Totally.
Right? So in the little that I know, starting off, that could be a very big challenge.
Yep.
Did you guys find out to be the case, or did you, you know, did you, were you able to find the work to fulfill the needs that to pay both of your incomes?
Yeah.
Great question.
That is a good question. So initially, and everything from the beginning, when we set out to do this, it was very much a 50-50, we're in this equally.
Yeah.
If you're at the office, I'm at the office type of way. And so we were just early on, I think we had a mutual understanding that this is, we don't have a backup plan. You know, we don't have a side hustle. We're not going and doing jobs to pay our own bills on the weekends. Yeah. Like, this is our hustle now together.
Yep.
And we believe that God put us together, which, you know, that gave us confidence too.
Yeah.
That we knew that the two of us are specifically paired together,
Austin,
for a reason.
You're my ride or die. God gave me you. I was telling
every
God,
time.
God gave me, you know that song? I sing it to him all the time.
Yeah. Love that
song.
Yeah,
when I do the stuff he doesn't want to do.
That's true.
Just kidding. But yeah, we have our own strengths. But yeah, to answer the question of specifically financially, we took it slow. We took our time. I would say we were very intentional with going full time.
Mm-hmm.
And we both had full time jobs for the first several months that we were building this.
Yeah.
So we only decided to go full time when we felt we were ready. We had talked about it. You know, we'd been in counsel with people that we have allowed to speak into our lives. So maybe that's a big key there. Being in community, having people that can speak into your life and can kind of be that sounding board, that you can trust. So we had that. So we were just, we were in counsel, in prayer, our wives were involved in the process. And so when we were ready to move forward and go full time, not that everything immediately was just easy, but we just, we dove in, we went all in. There was no other option for us. So we had to make it work. And luckily we had we were very blessed because we served so heavily with our church. Like, we were able to basically get a couple months of buffer because we were kind of working full time for the church at the time too. And so that really helped us to be able to have a little bit of time to save up some money to get some of those first gear purchases that we needed.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like a free handout or anything. We were still working to get that. But we just believed from the very beginning that if we serve people and really make that our focus, that we'll be taken care of. And that's pretty much been the case.
Yeah.
That's terrific, man. What an amazing story. And it sounds very, very familiar in terms of how you started, how you sought counsel, because I started the same way, talking to my pastors and still to today, still talk to my pastors, have lunch with them all the time.
Yep.
Awesome.
And those are the ones that I kind of seek guidance from. And these are not just pastors. These are business owners that are pastors well. So
100%.
Yep.
So they're able to help me in making the right decisions when the time comes, like making my first hire, getting an office outside of my house, you know, moving from my home office. So all that stuff.
Can't wait to do that.
You know, I don't take it lightly. Yeah. So it's awesome that you guys are able to get along like that. And it's funny because recently I was talking to someone that actually works in my same office building, and he was telling me how he has this partnership where they share an office space with somebody, and they kind of sort of agree to find clients to basically build a studio in there to try to sell it. But you know, he was complaining and asking what he should do, because these guys, the guys that he partnered up with, they seem to not just want to find any clients. They're not putting in their part. They just want to do their podcast in there and whatnot. And I'm like, these guys sound like they were not interested to really work from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You guys seem like you're unequally yoked, right? Because the Bible says that you can't be unequally yoked. And so I started kind of speaking into his life like that. But using the Bible as a reference, you know, obviously it's talking about marriage and that, but it's talking about partnerships as well.
Yeah.
So as long as you guys are on the same page, you know, and you're in agreement, knowing that you're going to put equal effort into this.
Yeah.
This is going to turn into a whole sermon, this whole episode.
No, it's great.
So that's what I was telling him. And that the guy was, you know, he was starting to understand that now, where that's where he's dropping the ball, where you're getting into bed with these two other guys that are not interested or as committed as you are. So yeah,
100%.
What did you expect was going to happen, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that was just an interesting that you guys were talking about that. So obviously your partnership is working. It's working very well. So back to the whole, you know, making it work with the budget at hand, right?
Yeah.
There must be some instances. There have been, I know because I get them too, where the client has a budget, you know, but it's still kind of low budget. How do you make your budgets work? How do you make it so that you're both profitable on the projects that you do?
Yeah,
totally.
What is sort of the first things or variables that you consider?
Yeah, I think first off, we just go off, one, if the budget isn't where it needs to be or where we would like it to be, is it something that we want to continue doing? So if this client hits us up and we love their work, we love their brand, we believe in what they do, we're probably going to take it. Because at the state of where we're at right now as a company, we're still building our portfolio, especially in the commercial space. And so that's a little bit of a different scenario. But if it's something that's low budget, thank God we're in a place now where we can just say, hey, we don't want to take this $2,000 random job here and there. Because the budget isn't there. It doesn't make sense. Two, it's not something we want more work of. So why would we put it into our portfolio? And just being smart with that. Not that we're grateful for the work that does get come in or people ask us to, we're honored that people want to hire us, but we're thankfully in a place that we don't have to necessarily take everything.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah, when you see that you can reject or decline work or kind of outsource it to somebody else that you know is capable of doing it, that's a very comfortable place to be.
Yeah,
absolutely.
When hiring too is a whole nother dynamic too, because obviously the kind of the rate that we would charge for our new hire is a little bit different than the rate we would charge if you're getting Darren and I coming out to shoot and edit your project. And so that's opened up some wiggle room. You know, we have a standard rate sheet that we work off of that's time-based. And so what I would say is if it does, you know, obviously we run into the instance where we pitch something and then the client says, oh, okay, I only have this much in my budget. Well, we try to find that out on the front end typically. Because at the end of the day, if you have a $10,000 budget for your video, I promise we can use all $10,000 of it. But if you have a $500 budget, then we need to think of how can we make this work? And so I always try to get the budget on the front end because it's hard to pitch without a budget first because you could be way high or even way low. So we try to determine the budget first, but say the client has a budget that is lower than what we would want. I just look for opportunities, kind of like what Darren said. Is this an opportunity where I can learn a new skill or apply a new piece of gear or learn something new? If there's a valid opportunity to learn something new, to me, that's value that I may take a cheaper job because I have an opportunity to learn something new or to have the creative freedom to test something, try something out.
Yeah.
Those lower budget clients, they can't be picky with how you do things. So you have a little bit more creative freedom maybe with those cheaper jobs. Is there an opportunity for a portfolio piece to train and develop our hire?
Yeah.
And so really looking, or like, is there long-term future opportunity in this client? And so that's like a whole nother podcast episode, I feel like, or series on like when to do free work and not do free work and cheap and discounted work. But that's kind of how I approach it. It's just looking for the opportunity. And if I feel the opportunity outweighs the sacrifice on the monetary side.
Totally.
I love that. I definitely analyze all incoming inquiries in the same manner. Mm-hmm. There are definitely benefits outside of the monetary that I consider when accepting a job. You know, is it, just like you said, is this something that's going to look good on my reel? Mm-hmm. Is there an opportunity to sort of get a retainer out of this maybe?
Sure.
Or can I just make a small little profit off of sending somebody else out there? You know, so there's a lot of different opportunities. And I think as you grow, I didn't always consider it that way.
Yeah.
You know, as you grow in the industry, you start thinking as a business person and not just as a creative.
Right.
You know, and you could stay a creative for the rest of your career. But you know, unfortunately your income would be capped.
Yep.
You know, at some point you have to think about the business side of things and how to multiply yourself, how to make more profit out of these products and services that you're providing for your client and the different avenues to do that.
So absolutely.
That's terrific that you guys are considering that. So hiring somebody out, how do you manage your first employee? So, you know, you guys have a full-time person on staff. What was the mindset going into that? Did you guys just have so much work that you couldn't do it yourself? Or what was that sort of conversation like?
For me, I have been thinking, I guess in the last year, more of the business side of things, just looking into what we're doing, where we're going, what we're going after. And for me, it was, we kind of crunched some numbers and we said, okay, Darren and Austin, if we continue to do Glory Visuals, us two only for the rest of our lives, how much money can we actually make? And we really found that number to be way lower than I would ever want it to be. I think it was like $375,000 a year combined that we could make. And I was like, that's not
only?
Well, okay. So,
I get it.
You know,
max
what I
potential.
Mean. Max potential.
That's like our best month ever.
Right. Max
every
potential.
Single month.
Like,
so like if I have dreams and goals and aspiration to make that myself a year after taxes and then even more, you know, I have big dreams. I have big goals. I have a big idea for me and my wife's life someday. And if I can't attain that, if there's always a lid that I'm going to hit, I'm not going to be motivated. So we came to that conclusion and I was like, man, but if we added one person full time, what would that do? And it just like blew the number up and it grew the opportunity and the amount of headspace that we were going to gain and the amount of not sitting at our desk time, being able to focus on other parts of our business, launching a podcast, which has been a dream for 3 years. Yep. We just haven't done it because it wasn't the right time. And so it was just cool to see, kind of look at the numbers, look at the paper and say, okay, if we hire somebody, this will make our world bigger.
Yeah.
And I don't want to build Glory Visuals on Darren and Austin. I want to build a company that people can help build with us and take ownership in and find a passion and a calling in, and less about us, just more about growing a really great company that provides quality film and quality content to the world. And so that's really where we started, was like, man, there's a cap on this, but we gotta do something about it. And and it was just like a no-brainer. We knew right away that we needed to hire somebody.
And it was after much deliberation too. We had spent months talking about it, trying to find out who is the right person for this. Because choosing an employee it's hard.
It's tough.
Finding a good employee is really tough. And so I don't know that we approached it like most other people, because the employee that we hired, we've known for several years and we actually helped really train and build her. She was a part of our church team. And so I think that by having that kind of kingdom mentality from the start, we put a lot of work and a lot of time into people that didn't seem to pay out at the time. Put a lot of hours into people that would just kind of dip, go off and take what we taught them and go do their own thing, start their own company, you know, take that and use that for their own personal gain. And so, but out of all of that, like after 3 years of building and training and Gray and Bray really grinding and editing tons of projects for church, there came a point where we were like, this is a no-brainer. Like she's proven herself and we know like how consistent, how committed she is. So we already knew all of her qualities as an employee before we hired her.
Yeah.
So,
and by no means do we like pour into people and build people and love people to hopefully make them into a Glory Visuals employee. It just so happened to be one of our passions is to build people. And if in the process we can offer them a job and they're like, man, I would love to do this for a living, and we can offer that, that's just a bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's something that I also considered as well. You know, doing a lot of the stuff for the church and the people that I've been able to train, basically the same concept.
Yeah.
Just I didn't find anybody at the time that I was looking that would sort of suit what I needed to get done. Mm-hmm. But maybe for the next one.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be pretty cool. But that's awesome that you looked in that field first. It's really awesome that you're able to pour into your employees, and you all have the same sort of mindset, same base,
yeah,
the same foundation, so that, you know, if things go south, there's never any, or at least there shouldn't be any bad blood or anything like that.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Everything should be pretty smooth throughout any obstacle. So that's awesome that you're able to incorporate that into your business model.
Totally.
What are some obstacles that you have found yourself in that you probably would not have found had you not been a partnership? Are there any setbacks that came across, anything like that, whether it's budget or finding the work, anything in that field?
Yeah, I guess I can speak to this because before I met Austin, I had my own like production company essentially. And there was a lot of holes and gaps and things I didn't quite understand. And I wasn't doing some things right. I didn't have some of this automated systems and customer acquisition that we have now, and the professionalism and some of the, even some of the bookkeeping. I mean, just from a lot of the admin side of things and all of that, like when we started our company, he really kind of took ownership in. And so, because of that, I was able to really step in fully into my strengths, like I had mentioned earlier. And it just kind of opened doors. I'm like, man, I don't have to worry about this, this, and this. So I can really focus on this and get better at this. And so that just really allowed us to step forward and not have as many roadblocks. I mean, there definitely are some always, but that allowed us to really, like I said earlier, stay in our lanes and continue moving forward.
Where do you think, in the realm of partnerships and businesses, where do you think people go wrong? And I think, you know, we mentioned earlier being unequally yoked, where you guys are mm-hmm. not kind of heading in the same direction. But kind of aside from that, what are some mistakes that you feel people would make that would make a partnership go south?
Mm. That's good.
Yeah,
I guess you guys haven't thought about that too much because you guys.
It's a good question.
You better not leave me, bro.
Well, it's hard to answer because I feel pretty blessed with how well we are able to work together.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like mistakes people would make is rushing into it.
Yeah.
You know, being...
That's a good one. How long did you guys know each other before you started a business?
Actually, not that long. But I mean, we worked together and we were developing our friendship for over a year before we went full time. Okay. So we had known each other and were actively, I mean, from the very beginning, as soon as we met, we were pretty much friends and hanging out on a weekly basis. So
yeah, just shooting, you know, going out on shoots together, learning about cameras together. I mean, it was really like a developed relationship that was quickly developed because, I mean, church is every Sunday. So we shot every Sunday and then we'd shoot midweek all the time. And so we just grew that passion. It kind of, I guess, progressively got there faster than normal. But yeah, jumping into it too quick, I think what I've seen in the most recent years is there are tons of passionate people that are like, man, I bought my first camera. Like, we've encouraged, I think, everybody at our church to buy Sony. Everyone switched from Canon and Nikon to Sony. So everyone gets this camera.
I do the same.
It's awesome. We just now have affiliate links and I'm like, man, we could have made like $14 if we would have, you know, had them buy from our link. So everyone gets a great camera in their hand. They start developing this passion because they're shooting at church or with us, you know, on a shoot with us, and they start loving it. But then they're like, okay, I'm going to start it on my own. Well, I don't know exactly what to do. Darren and Austin do it together. So maybe me and this guy, we'll start something. And there's a lot of ideas and a lot of like fluff around the idea of having a company. And I think it's a lot harder than people think, and it's a lot more work than people think. And so what I've seen is people are like, man, maybe we should do it together. You and me, we could start this thing. We could do a photo business. You could do a video business. I could do photo. You could do video. We could be a partner. But not a lot of actual doing it. But yeah, I see it. Again, this is a lot harder than it seems. We've just been super fortunate and blessed to see it work.
That's awesome, man. I think that just kind of seeing it on sort of a bird's eye view, I think that you guys mentioned earlier, using your strengths in your business. And just now you're mentioning, you know, people have the idea of starting, you know, them doing photography, them doing video and whatnot. But, you know, having people do what they is not really their strength, or just because to fill in that gap might not be the best method, because
totally
if they get tired of it quick, they're not going to want to continue to do it, and nothing's going to motivate them to get better at it, you know? Yep. And so that's just one thing that I kind of sort of see. And when you guys started, you played on your strengths.
Yeah.
One of you was better at editing and the other one's organizing. And so you guys sort of were able to complement each other on that, on that part. So
totally.
That's why the partnership works.
And there's kind of a level of weight on both of us, because I mean, we're 50-50 partners. So I mean, I piece out, like I'm kind of screwing him. He pieces out, he's screwing me. And we just really need to figure out, if you're going to partner with someone, you got to say, hey, I'm laying my life down for this thing. Like we're giving it our all, blood, sweat, and tears. And I mean, we've had countless weeks, countless months of grinding together and really getting through the tough seasons.
Yeah.
We actually just did a podcast. We recorded it today and we'll be posting it soon, but about how, you know, some of the hardest times in our first year of business was like not getting all the taxes stuff right and having to pay tens of thousands of dollars in the next year and living a paycheck to paycheck or no paycheck for a few months, and what it did to our lives and how we affected our wives and our home life. And but it's all a part of the process and we learned from it and we're never going back there.
Let's talk about your production process. Like, so you guys get a job, the budget fits, everything goes well.
Yeah.
Who takes what role in each project?
Love it.
Is there a director? Is there a DP? Like, how do you guys split that?
Yeah. So back to like deciphering and kind of figuring out our roles. This is something that I feel like really making headway on figuring out right now is I think early on we kind of figured out what our roles in the business are.
Yeah.
But up until recently, we did share a lot of the same skill sets as far as actual filmmaking. We both are musicians. We both are pretty decent at doing, you know, modifying songs and doing music stuff, sound effects, stuff like that. We're both pretty close to the same level with editing, shooting, all of that stuff. So it did take a little while for us to really decide what we want our roles on set to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most recently, I've been really loving the more, I guess you would probably call it like a DP role. I don't know that it really would warrant that title on the small sets that we're doing, but basically, you know, my passion is lighting, camera movement, lensing, all of that
sounds
stuff.
Like
so yeah, so that's kind of what, when I walk into a room, my focus is how can I make this look good? Where am I going to put lights? How am I going to modify them? All of that stuff.
Yeah. And then I guess like being a small team of two people and now three, obviously when you're on a film set, there's a ton of roles to be filled. So we're actually just now learning even what those roles are, what they should be, what they're called, and even what they're called, the ones that we operate in and what they're called. And so I would say I've grown a passion for like directing and storytelling and capturing the moment and really telling, hey, Austin, go here, do this shot. Hey, we need another take of that. And just calling the shots in that. And we've just kind of naturally fell into those. They weren't like, oh, we watched a masterclass and that's what we want to do. It was just, we were kind of naturally doing it in like an unprofessional type of way. And then just started leaning heavy into those because we're saying, hey, this is your strength. This is my strength. Let's continue this journey. Let's figure out these roles.
That's awesome, man. And you know, that is actually a really good reason why they should not rush into a partnership, because you want to allow each other to know what each other's strength is and just fill in those gaps. And that being able to complement each other in that way, that's phenomenal.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, and I think that that's really helping you guys continue to flourish in your business and continue to grow. So that's really cool to hear that.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have the right fit for sure with the partnership. Even down to like, there's things on set that he cares about, like wardrobe, how people's hair looks, makeup, which couch we're using, like stuff like that is things he cares about.
Yeah.
There's things that I care about. And so, yeah, it's tough to find a partner that, you know, if you're both too opinionated on the same types of things, or if you have a lot of the same strengths, mm-hmm. then you might be butting heads quite a bit. So luckily our strengths are pretty complementary. So there's very few things that we're both like super passionate about that we disagree on.
God gave me you.
We're going to play that in the background for this episode.
Let's go.
Darren, you mentioned earlier that, I think this is a question that I had forgotten earlier. You mentioned earlier that you had a business before you partnered up with Austin, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
What was that like? Did you have to say goodbye to your old business and put everything on this new business, new logo, new everything?
Yeah, so I did, but it was more of like an upgrade, if you will. We really took all of my social media accounts that I had built, switched them over to Glory Visuals. We took a ton of the clients that I knew and relationships that we still work with today from those past older relationships. And the branding that I had was terrible. The name was long and ridiculous. I was doing photo, video. Like I said, I was doing everything under the sun. I got hit up to record a birthday song with this lady that didn't know how to sing, but wanted to sing a birthday song for her husband, had her in the studio. It was a hot mess. So,
you mean you don't like those kinds of jobs? What's wrong with
that? Yeah. God bless all jobs that come through. But, so long story short, it was actually an upgrade. It was a blessing to really dial in our focus, dial in a new brand. There was a freshness to it. There was a simplicity to it, but also a whole another side of ideas to it. So it was just a fun new adventure to go on.
That's terrific, man. So I love that. That was not getting rid of it. That was an upgrade instead of kind of tearing down the old. That's an awesome way to put it, and awesome way to see it. So that's really cool. So you guys have a podcast called Glory Boys. What is that about?
The Glory Boys. It's just the Glory really Boys. Really what we're talking about now is like inspiring and encouraging new filmmakers up until aspiring or very seasoned filmmakers, just to not make the mistakes that we have, to try out the gear that we try, to help them, give them tools. I mean, what else do we talk about?
Yeah, we've talked about weddings. In the future, we have a lot of ideas for episodes, but it's really just a raw inside look at a lot of stuff. Our personalities, you know, we really want the podcast to feel like us, to let people in a little bit on our personalities. So it's kind of equal parts educational and professional, equal parts fun and silly and kind of looser, right. But
a lot of silly.
Yeah.
So about the mistakes that you have made, what are some of the mistakes that you guys have made?
Yeah.
A lot.
Probably the biggest mistake that we made is
we accidentally bought an A7I once.
Okay, that was the biggest mistake we've ever made.
We were on Craigslist.
How do you accidentally buy an A7I?
So first of all, hashtag noob. I didn't have, when we started our company, we only had one A7S2, and that was Austin's, what he brought into the company. I had a Canon 6D. We weren't trying to do that game. So we were like, okay, next purchase is an A7S2. But at the time they were like $1,700-$1,800. We were on Craigslist one night, every night really, just looking for the next purchase, something used. And Austin's like, bro, I found an A7S2 for...
I thought it was a A7S Mark I.
Oh, got
is
it.
Is how I read it.
Got
so
it.
And it was for like $375, which the A7S was a pretty great camera. And it would have been just fine for us. So we meet up with this guy at Dairy Queen or something. And I remember he leaves after we buy the camera and everything, and I'm setting it up and all of like my video modes are gone because it's the A7. I didn't realize it. So I like looked at the camera and I realized there's no S on it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, dang it. Cause they all look the same. So,
no.
Yeah, bro.
So we thought it was a deal, but it was too good to
so
be true.
So thank God we actually like flipped it like that week for like $50 more and moved on with life. But that was pretty epic.
We shot one job awesome. With it.
Yeah, we did shoot a it was job like, that week.
It was two angles with the A7S II and the A7, and like the A7 angle was so bad.
Oh, it's like trash.
1080i. It's real bad. So
lessons learned.
But yeah, that was a big mistake. Probably the biggest mistake that hurt us the most, genuinely, is not setting up all of the proper taxes, mm-hmm. getting, you know, mm-hmm. QuickBooks. Early on, we used a site called AndCo. I don't know if you've heard of it or you have used it at all.
Never.
But
I've always been on QuickBooks.
Yeah. It's great, I think, for freelancers, maybe like sole proprietors, but it's not really true business software. So that really hurt us. We didn't really set aside money for taxes our first partial year and then our first full year.
Yeah.
And it came back. We ended up having 5 months. We were on a 5 month plan to pay off $35,000 in taxes.
Yeah.
And so we were paying $7,000 a month. Every 15th of the month would just automatically get pulled out of our account for 5 straight months. And yeah. that was tough during
that
time.
Terrible.
Like Darren said, like there were times where we didn't get paid. We didn't get paid on time. And we mentioned this in the podcast too, but you know, through that time, we just stayed the course and stayed faithful, kept serving people. Yeah. And I remember several times during that, those 5 months where we would have little jobs come in, something come up, quick opportunity, or, you know, bigger paychecks, but they would come in always just at the right time.
Yeah.
And it would be just enough to get us by,
yep.
pay yeah. the bills, always would be at the right time. So it was a really cool faith builder, yeah. honestly, to go through that.
I feel like that's one of the few things that every creator does not talk about, whether it's a YouTuber or a podcaster, when mm-hmm. it relates to filmmakers or any creatives, really, is taxes. Now, yep. I have been dying to do an episode only on taxes and sort of what to stay away from and all that stuff, but I'm still figuring that stuff out on my
same.
Also today still.
Yep.
So yeah. I don't feel properly equipped to do that. And what I would normally do, like, I'm still trying to find I've been kind of cycling through accountants trying to find the right one for me to do mm-hmm. everything. And once I find one and establish one and I can for sure trust them, I would love to bring them on the podcast and talk about
that'd be awesome.
Accounting yeah. for freelancers,
love,
you know,
it.
How to incorporate yourself, how to track your stuff. And right yep. now, thank God that my books are clean as a whistle.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to find the right accountant to just handle the rest.
Yeah.
But that's something that I had not done even in the beginning, just like you guys. So
yep.
it's an easy trap to get into, yep. but it's such a painful one to yep. get out of. So
yep. absolutely.
It's something that for sure anybody starting a business, whether it's a partnership or a sole proprietor or whatever,
yeah.
Should always keep taxes in mind,
because yep, there
that
it is.
Can bite you in the butt.
Amen.
You guys, did you ever hear about the Fresh Start program at all? Or
mm-mm. I don't think so.
Did it ever? Never? Mm-mm. So I don't know if I want to say it's not a Florida thing. I think it's I don't know what it is, but basically I was set up with that because I kind of had the same issue as well, where yeah. I went 2-3 years with just a mess in my books,
yeah.
not paying taxes, et cetera, et cetera. Because I didn't know, like, it wasn't in my head. So
yeah.
I owed not 37,000, but I owed something like 20,000 roughly.
Yeah.
But then through the Fresh Start program, I was able to consolidate all that, make a deal with the IRS, and they allowed me to just pay it off in a $4,000 payment, right?
Yeah.
They brought the $19,000 or $20,000 down to $4,000.
Wow.
It's
wow.
called the Fresh Start program. Once I paid that, the deal was now I have to do my taxes quarterly. Right. They don't allow me to do it annually anymore, which kind of helps. I was already thinking about doing it quarterly anyways, but that was just part of the deal. So
that's good.
I think anybody that's probably listening to this and thinking about taxes and thinking that they haven't paid taxes in years, look into the Fresh Start program. Yeah. It's something that the government does offer to get people that, you know, may have messed up to kind of give them a fresh start. And it was a really big help. So
that's really awesome. Cool. I love that.
Wish I would have known about that.
It's all right.
It's okay though. We got through it.
We're never going back. Right. So it's fine.
Yeah. Being a S Corp, we switched to S Corp, after that whole fiasco, and that's been really helpful.
Really?
I know there's like a threshold you have to make over a certain amount for it to really be worth it. But the nice thing is you pay yourself payroll, so it gets taken out of your paycheck like a normal job would. So that's honestly been helpful. If you're like us, that some people just aren't very good with money. That's me right now. I wasn't raised to be super great with money. Mm-hmm. I'm getting better and I will be good at money someday. But if you're not, then you have to put those safeguards in place where like being an S Corp helps me out a lot because I don't have to put the money aside. I don't have to, it gets done for me. So it almost takes the power out of me. So if you're like me and you look at 20 grand in your bank account and think of all the ways you can spend it on gear, do some of those safeguards or set up an automatic draft where it puts $1,000 into an account you can't touch or just something. Don't let yourself get 2 years, without paying taxes and let it come back and get you.
So that was a ton of great information. I wish we had more time. We definitely want to do another episode that talks about taxes and S Corps and LLCs and all that stuff. We can get into all of that.
Yeah.
But for now, can you let us know where to find you guys, your website, social media, and tell where that people can find your podcast as well?
Yeah. Yeah, you can find us at, so you can find our company at gloryvisuals.com. You can find our podcast at thegloryboys.com. We're on any place that you consume podcasts. YouTube is just Glory Visuals, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Glory Visuals, all that.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, Austin and Darren, thanks so much for coming on the iFilmmaker podcast. We're super happy to have you and great conversation.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, glad to be here, man. Thanks so much.
So there you have it. There's my conversation with Darren and Austin of Glory Visuals. I hope that this episode was as enlightening to you as it was for me. I know I learned a lot, and I can definitely say that we're going to be having them back on the show because there was a lot of stuff that we wanted to get to. We just did not have the time to do it on this episode, but we'll be bringing them back to talk about other aspects of our production companies and how we both kind of get through different obstacles and kind of hit the highs and the lows and whatnot. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will be putting links to all of their stuff that they mentioned on the show notes for this episode. Wherever you listen to the iFilmmaker podcast, you'll see it on the show notes for this episode. So thanks for joining us. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you're on YouTube, or just leave us a 5-star rating if you're on iTunes or any other podcasting platform. Until next time, my name is Ariel Martinez, and this is the iFilmmaker podcast.